online, but we're going to talk about the call of Jonah tonight. And we're in Jonah chapter 1, verse 1. If you're able, let's stand together for the reading of God's word tonight. Jonah chapter 1, verses 1 and 2 will be our text for tonight. Now the word of the Lord came unto Jonah, the son of Amittai, saying, Arise, go to Nineveh, that great city, and cry against it, for their wickedness is come up before me. Let's pray together. Lord, I thank you for this day that you've given us, for the opportunity we have tonight together around your word. And I pray that you would be with all the prayer requests that have been mentioned, those that are on our prayer list. Lord, there are so many who are sick, those who are hurting, and those who are recovering, and those families who have lost loved ones. We just pray in all these things that you would bless. We lift up especially Brother Jody to you tonight. We pray that you'll give grace and healing. Lord, we know that you are able, and we trust in you. And Father, we pray for those who are hurting, that you'll give them grace. We pray that you'll bless the healthcare workers and all of the first responders, that you'll help them and give them blessings and grace. Give wisdom to our leaders, Father. We pray that you'll guide them and help them to make right decisions according to the truth of your holy word. Please bless your word now. I pray, Lord, that you would help us to learn from your word tonight, that you'd help me to teach and preach according to your Holy Spirit, and that your will would be done in our lives. Please help, we pray in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. Please be seated. I want to ask you a couple of questions as we get started tonight. Most of you are really familiar with the book of Jonah and this account in Scripture, and we're going to take it a little bit at a time over the next several weeks as we study about Jonah. But I just want to ask you a question. Is it God's fault that sinners are lost and on their way to hell? Is that God's fault? Or has God done everything that he needs to do for sinners to be saved and have eternal life? Amen. Is it God's fault that revival among God's people seems non-existent? Is it God's fault that our hearts are hard or cold? Is it God's fault that we don't see revival in our churches today? Listen, we know that God has called people to repentance and faith in Jesus Christ. Jesus said, if the Son of Man be lifted up, he'll draw all men unto himself. We know that when Jesus died, it wasn't done in some corner. He died and was buried and rose again. The whole world knew about it. The resurrection of Jesus Christ is the single most documented historical event in the history of the world. Listen, it's not that God hasn't done enough. It's not that God hasn't called people to salvation. It's not that God hasn't called people to repent. It's not that God hasn't called people to have revival. The problem in the world today is not with the harvest. The problem is with the laborers. The problem is not with God's voice. The problem is with our hearing. And so we want to learn a little bit about hearing the call of God today. I want you to listen to what the evangelist Dr. John R. Rice once said. He said, the trouble is not with the harvest, but with the reapers. Men are lost, but they can be saved. Hearts are hard, but they can be broken with the gospel. Sinners are blinded. Sinners are enslaved by Satan. Sinners are even dead in trespasses and sins, but Christ has opened blind eyes and released the captives and raised the dead before. Sinners are always lost, always hardened, always blinded and enslaved. The basic facts about the power of the gospel have never changed. Around the world, in all ages and in all lands, the harvest has been white and the laborers few. Amen. The harvest is white today. In any particular community, there may be times of sowing and then times of reaping, an ebb and a flow of opportunity. That has been true in all ages, and it is not different today. But around the world, it is continually the same. Multitudes of people are ripe for the gospel and could be won by spirit-filled, impassioned, and zealous soul winners. The world is white to the harvest. It has always been and always will be, as long as human hearts are what they are, and sin is what it is, and the gospel is what it is. There is not trouble with the harvest. The trouble is with the reapers. Amen. Now, that was a long quote, but there wasn't any part of it I felt like I could cut out. I want you to get this, friends. Human hearts are what they are. Sinners are lost. Sinners are hard-hearted. They are what they are. That hasn't changed. But the gospel hasn't changed either. The gospel is the power of God unto salvation to all who believe. And the word of God will accomplish what God sends it to do. But God has chosen, for whatever reason, I don't understand it, but God has chosen to use people as instruments to take the gospel to the world. That's the way he's chosen to do it. Now, maybe that's not the way you would have done it, but you're not God. Maybe that's not the way I'd have done it, but I'm not God. He's God, and he's chosen for those who believe to take the gospel that they've received and give it to other people. And when we're faithful with the gospel and we go in the power of the Holy Spirit of God, men's hearts can be broken because of their sin. They can become repentant and they can put their faith in Jesus Christ. The gospel still works. God is calling us, but we've got to be faithful to hear the call and to be obedient to that call. Jonah received a call from God. It's an amazing thing. But we look at the world today and many people don't want God in their lives. Romans 1:21 says, because that when they knew God, they glorified him not as God. You know, the Bible tells us that God has revealed himself to all mankind. People know in their heart of hearts that there is a God in heaven. They may deny him. They may suppress that truth in their unrighteousness, but there's a knowledge of God in them, but they don't want to glorify God in their lives. Too many times, we're like the people in 2 Kings 17:33. Listen to this. 2 Kings 17:33 says, who feared the Lord and served their own gods. That's kind of messed up, isn't it? They feared the Lord, they feared Jehovah, but they served their own gods. And I think there are many people like that in the world today. And if we're not careful, we'll be like that. If we're not careful, we can make ourselves gods. Amen. We can be like those in the days of the judges, when every man did that which was right in his own eyes. And in a world today where truth is relative to so many people, as long as you think it's right to you. And people live that way. But the reality is there is a truth, and we need to learn to recognize God's voice in the midst of all the noise. Amen. Do you recognize God's voice? Can you pick out God's voice in the midst of a world with all of these voices shouting at you? Amen. When Saul of Tarsus was on his way to Damascus to find Christians there and throw them into prison, he heard the voice of the Lord. Amen. The Bible says that when he came near Damascus, suddenly there shined right about him a light from heaven, and he fell to the earth and heard a voice saying unto him, Saul, Saul, why persecutest thou me? And he said, Saul said, who art thou, Lord? He might not have known who the Lord was, but he knew it was the Lord that was talking to him. We need to know. We need to know the voice of God today. Psalm 95:7 says, today, if ye will hear his voice, harden not your heart. Harden not your heart. We need to be careful that we're receptive to the word of God. That we don't harden our heart against the truth of God, and that we hear his voice. We need to hear the call. When God speaks, he does so with a purpose. Have you ever been around somebody who just kind of talks incessantly? Like they just can't handle the silence? There's this thing people refer to as companionable silence. That means that somebody you're close to, you can just sit. Nobody has to talk. You could just sit. Be around each other. Nobody has to talk. Some people can't handle that. They feel like somebody's got to be talking. And they're happy to fill that with just sometimes nonsensical chatter. Okay. Some of you are like, yeah, I know that guy. And some of you are like, that could be me. Right? God doesn't do that. When God speaks, he always has a purpose. Amen. God doesn't just have idle chatter. God's words are never idle. He always has a purpose. Listen, the Bible is a carefully crafted message. Every word is given by God. Every word is essential, and we need to understand that God has messages for us. We got to pay attention. Verse 1 said that Jonah, the word of the Lord, came unto Jonah. God had something to say to him, and we want to be wise to listen to what God has to say. Jeremiah chapter 8, verses 8 and 9 says, "How do ye say, we are wise, and the law of the Lord is with us? Lo, certainly in vain made he it. The pen of the scribes is in vain. The wise men are ashamed. They are dismayed and taken. Lo, they have rejected the word of the Lord, and what wisdom is in them?" Listen, when the word of the Lord comes, we don't want to be like those who have rejected it. We want to hear the call of God. We want to receive the word of God. Jesus gave the parable of the sowers. And some of that seed, the sower went forth to sow, and some of the seed fell on the wayside, and some in the stony ground, and some in the thorny ground. Remember? But some of it fell in the good soil, and it brought forth fruit. And that's our heart, friends. We want to have our heart ready to receive the word. I think there's too many times that we've got we got the cares of the world that are choking out the word of God. Amen. We've got some unconfessed and unrepented sin in our life. We've got some places where we've blocked God out. It's that stony ground. And what we want to do is not harden our heart. What we want to do is break up the fallow ground. What we want to do is ask God to soften our hearts, ask God to put his word in us. We've got to have a desire for it to listen. Amen. Now, when we look at this call that God gave to Jonah, there's three action words found. He says, arise. In verse 2, he says, arise. He says, go. And he says, cry. Arise, go, and cry. Somebody once said, theory never gets the job done. Now, we can talk about stuff all the time. We can talk about what the Word of God says. But at some point, we've got to get up and do what the Bible says. Do you remember when Joshua was on his face crying out to God, praying about the sin in the camp? Remember he was just crying out to God how they got defeated by Ai? And God says, Joshua, get up off your face. There's a time to pray, there's a time to cry out to God, and then there's a time to get up and do what God said to do. Amen. 1 John 3:18 says, "My little children, let us not love in word, neither in tongue, but in deed and in truth." Jesus says, "If you love me, keep my commandments." If we love him, we don't just talk about it, we do what he says. In John 13:17, Jesus says, "If ye know these things, happy are ye if ye do them." So we want to take the things that God's given us. First of all, it's time to wake up. God calls us to wake up. Somebody once said the church is a sleeping giant. Now, there was a Japanese general or admiral after the bombing of Pearl Harbor. And the Japanese were so excited about their great victory they won. And he said, "I'm afraid we've woken a sleeping giant." Amen. And he wasn't wrong. Amen. Right? Amen. Well, I believe the churches of the Lord Jesus Christ here in America and around the world today, many of the Lord's churches are asleep. The local churches are slumbering away while the world is going down, down, down into hell. We're just snoozing. And it's time for us to wake up. Isaiah 56 and verse 10. Isaiah 56:10 says, "His watchmen are blind. They are all ignorant. They are all dumb dogs. They cannot bark, sleeping, lying down, loving to slumber." Now, I don't know that that makes you feel real good tonight, but we don't always have messages at Calvary that are feel-good messages. Sorry if that's what you're expecting. But this is what the Word of God says about the watchman. When the watchman's not doing his job, he's laying down, sleeping, loving to slumber, and God says it's time to wake up. The watchman's job is to give the warning, to see the danger, to warn the people of the danger that's coming, and that's what we've got to do, wake up. Romans chapter 13, verses 11 and 12. Many of you are familiar with this passage. Romans 13, 11 and 12. He says, "And that knowing the time, that now it is high time to awake out of sleep. For now is our salvation nearer than when we believed. The night is far spent, the day is at hand. Let us therefore cast off the works of darkness and let us put on the armor of light." And it's time for Christians to wake up. Understand the time that you're living in. Understand that our time is running out and we better wake up and do the work that God's called us to do. It's time to wake up and it's time to walk. Notice what he goes on to say there in Romans 13, verse 13. He says, wake up. And then he says, let us walk honestly as in the day, not in rioting and drunkenness, not in chambering and wantonness, not in strife and envying, but put ye on the Lord Jesus Christ and make not provision for the flesh to fulfill the lust thereof. Amen. It's time to wake up, to pay attention to what's going on around us, to redeem the time. And then he says it's time to walk in honesty. We need to walk in holiness. We've got to wake up, and then we've got to move forward. Ephesians 4:1 says, I therefore, the prisoner of the Lord, beseech you that ye walk worthy of the vocation wherewith ye are called. We're never going to be able to be used of God to warn others of the judgment to come unless we are walking in newness of life. No, nobody wants to eat a meal out of a dirty dish. Now, you've heard the illustration 1,000 times, but I'm hungry, so I'm going to give it again. How many of you like steak? Will you raise your hand, please, if you like steak? Because I want to see the people not raising their hands so I can pray for them. Man, I love steak. And you know, I can go a while with that one, but every once in a while, you just get that craving. You need some meat, right? Everybody with me right now? And I can take a baked potato or leave it, but I want the steak. All right. Now, you just imagine that beautiful T-bone steak. Well, since we're dreaming, it's a porterhouse. Might as well, right? You imagine that beautiful, perfectly seasoned, perfectly grilled porterhouse steak. And it comes off the grill, and it is beautiful and juicy, and it smells so good. Your mouth starts watering when you smell it. Yeah, you love me right now, don't you? Well, I like this message all of a sudden. Now imagine it comes in off the platter, off the grill, and it smells so good, and it looks so good. And then somebody picks up the dog dish out of the floor, shakes out the dog food, takes that beautiful steak, and throws it in that dirty dog dish. Now, a lot of you are shaking your head. Some of you are messed up. You're like, I don't care. I'll eat it anyway. But most of us, with any sense at all, we don't want dog food, dog slobber, dog hair, and whatever else the dog's mouth has been in on our steak. It's nasty. You see, when we start talking about waking up and we start talking about our walk, we're talking about walking in holiness. Amen. And God has called us to be vessels that are meet for the master's use. That, what does that mean? That means that we need to put off the works of darkness. We need to put off the works of the flesh. It means we need to stop walking in the flesh and stop walking in our selfish desires and start walking in the Spirit, to put off the old man, to put on the new man, to walk in holiness and righteousness and walk worthy of the vocation wherewith we've been called. What does that mean? It means that the Holy Spirit of God has cleansed us. Amen. It doesn't mean we're sinless. It doesn't mean we're perfect. But it means our life matches the message that we're talking about. We're telling them that Jesus Christ has saved us. He's given us new life. He's put his Spirit in us, that we have life everlasting, that we're a child of the King, and our lifestyle ought to match what we're saying. Amen. The dish needs to be clean. Needs to be clean. Amen. There's a time to wake up. There's a time to walk. There's a time to warn. There's a time to warn. Now, have any of you ever been to your doctor and maybe they did a little blood work and maybe checked your cholesterol levels and all that good stuff? Anybody had that? Anybody ever had your doctor sit down and said, now listen, we ran some numbers and this looks okay and this is pretty good, but you know, your cholesterol's a little high here. The bad ones are not good, and we're going to need you to start eating a little better and exercising. Anybody ever had those kind of conversations? Amen. I'm not meddling. I'm not violating HIPAA tonight. I'm just asking you. Right? Why does your doctor do that? Well, hopefully he's a good doctor and he cares about your health. He's concerned about your health, the way you eat and your activity level, because he doesn't want you to have a heart attack. Amen. There are some good doctors out there that would rather you not have a heart attack. Right? They care about heart disease. They care about the condition of your body, and they understand. Now, if he's a good doctor, he's going to warn you about some things, some danger signs that he sees, and the trouble that it might bring in the future. Everybody with me right now? Amen. That's love. Amen. It's not a good thing for the doctor to just ignore all the warning signs and not tell you that you need to change some things if you want to be healthy. I'm a little bit tired of people in this world today, and especially Christians, those who claim the name of Christ, saying that we can't call sin sin because that's too judgmental. I don't understand it. For one thing, I don't understand the double standard. Racism is wrong. Of any shape. Amen. Racism is wrong. We're all created equal. We're all image bearers of God. We're all made in the image of God. And people deserve dignity and respect because they're made in the image of God. That's a biblical value, by the way. To be anti-racist is biblical. Now, I'm not saying that people haven't corrupted the Word of God and twisted it to justify all kinds of wickedness. That doesn't mean the Bible was wrong. They're wrong. Amen. Buddy with me right now. All right. Racism wrong. How about this? Theft, robbery, those things, that's wrong. Amen. It's wrong to take other people's stuff. Okay, if you guys are having a hard time agreeing with this, I don't know. I have to have a different lesson next week. How about this one? Everybody can agree. Rape is wrong. Amen. It's wrong. There's a few things that it's okay to say are wrong in the world today. But then when you say that homosexuality is wrong, people get up in arms. When you say adultery is wrong, people don't like that. When you say abortion is wrong, people don't like that. Listen, it's a wrong thing. Listen, telling people the truth is not evil. Amen. It's not mean. Amen. It's not judgmental. Amen. Now, our heart ought to be right about it. But the most loving thing that you can do for anybody on this planet is to warn them that they're sinners in need of a Savior. The most loving thing that you can do is tell them that if they leave this life without Christ, they'll spend eternity in the lake of fire. It's the most loving thing you can do for anybody. Isaiah 58:1 says, "Cry aloud, spare not, lift up thy voice like a trumpet, and show my people their transgression and the house of Jacob their sins." Now listen, I know it's not comfortable when the preacher starts laying out your sin and the things that you struggle with. I know that's not always super enjoyable. And we certainly know that the lost man and lost women in our community don't always appreciate being confronted with their sin. But listen, friends, if we love people, we've got to warn them of the judgment to come. We've all sinned and come short of the glory of God. Our sin leads to our death. Our sin leads to separation from God forever. The penalty, the wages of sin is death. And if we love people, we've got to warn them. Amen. It's got to be motivated out of love. Amen. It has to be motivated out of love. Amen. Jesus said, "As many as I love, I rebuke and chasten." And listen, I said it a minute ago. Let me just reiterate. I know a lot of people have taken Bible truth and they've twisted it, and with the wrong heart and wrong motives, they've done a lot of wrong things. Amen. But we can't let somebody doing that keep us from doing what's right. Somebody once said it's better to build a fence at the top of a cliff than to park an ambulance below. Amen. There are a lot of really smart people out there. Appreciate their quotes. Verse 2, the Word of God says that the wickedness of Nineveh had come up before the Lord. Did you know that the sin of the world affects God? He knows it, and he cares. But the way God's chosen to operate is that he chooses men and women. He chose a man named Jonah to go tell them. Their sin came up before the Lord, but he wanted Jonah to tell them. Amen. God's message in the scriptures is often spoken through tears of brokenheartedness. We often refer to Jeremiah as the weeping prophet. Jeremiah 9:1 says, "Oh, that my head were waters, mine eyes a fountain of tears, that I might weep day and night for the slain of the daughter of my people." Jeremiah was a man who loved the people of God. And let me just help you out. The leaders in Jeremiah's day, they hated Jeremiah. The priests, scribes of that day, they hated Jeremiah. The prophets of that day, they hated Jeremiah. And he cried himself dry for those people who hated him because he loved them. Though they hated him, he loved them. I want you to hear me. He had the right message, but he also had the right heart. Amen. And there are too many Christians in America today who are so politicized right now that everything they say has a little bit of venom to it. It has a little bite to it. Now listen, I'm not saying that you shouldn't say what's true and what's right. And I'm not saying you shouldn't speak out against what's wrong in the world today and what's wrong politically in the world today. You have every right and you should speak the truth, but you must do it in love. We've got to love these people. You know what they need? They don't need a different political agenda. They need the gospel of Jesus Christ. Amen. That's what they need. I'm so tired of everybody thinking, well, if these people would just switch. They get so excited when somebody changes their political party. And I'm like, who cares? Amen. Who cares? Listen, political party in America today means nothing. Amen. Now, you can say whatever you want to, but it doesn't. There may be some people with integrity here and there, but I'm telling you, as a whole, those parties mean nothing anymore. Amen. I mean anything. Let me give you an example. Abolition Day is coming up, February the 9th. Abortion is legal in the state of Oklahoma today because of pro-life Republican politicians. Listen, it's not pro-abortion Democrats who have kept abortion legal in this state. It's pro-life Republicans who have kept it legal in this state. There was only one just and right way to deal with slavery when slavery was going on in America. It wasn't to regulate it incrementally. Let's put some regulations on slaves and make, yeah, you can have slaves, but we want to make sure you do it in a safe manner. No, that's nonsense. Amen. The only right way to deal with it was to do away with it. Right. And abortion is exactly the same way. Amen. We don't want to regulate it. We don't want to make sure it's done safely for some people. Listen, every time an abortion happens, a baby dies. Amen. That's not safe for the baby. Amen. And there's only one just and right way to deal with abortion in America today and in the world today, and that's to absolutely and immediately abolish it. Amen. Amen. See, I want to make sure I make everybody mad. So I want to talk about the Democrats. I want to talk about the Republicans too, because listen, what we need are people who are led by the Spirit of God and do what the Word of God says. Amen. Okay. How about Matthew 23:37? Listen, Jesus pronounced judgment on the people of Israel. He pronounced judgment on those who saw his miracles and rejected him. He pronounced those woes on those people. But I promise you this, Jesus loved them. He says in Matthew 23:37, "O Jerusalem, Jerusalem, thou that killest the prophets and stonest them which are sent unto thee, how often would I have gathered thy children together, even as a hen gathereth her chickens under her wings, and ye would not." And I'm telling you right now, Jesus had a heart for the people, and he loved the people, and he wanted to save the people, and he wanted to gather them to himself, but they wouldn't. But he loved them. I don't know about you, but I hear the tears in Jeremiah's words. I hear the tears in our Savior's words because he loved the people, and we need to get a love for people. I think we've forgotten I don't know what happened this year, but we've forgotten a lot of good truths. And I just want to remind you tonight, we're supposed to love our enemies. You love your family, you love people that love you, big deal. Even filthy, unsaved, pagan Gentiles do that. But we're not that anymore. Now we're children of the Lord Jesus Christ. We belong to him. And we are to love our enemies and do good to those that hate us and persecute us. And we need to remember that. Amen. We do it with the love of Christ. We've got to remember what God's done for us. Nineveh was a great city. It was a huge city. But it was also a city that had great influence. I want you to think about our nation. I think America has been a great nation. Amen. I think America's had great influence on the world. When I say great, I mean big. Some of our influence has been really, really good, and some of it hasn't been good at all. But we need to remember what God's done. Deuteronomy chapter 8, verse 11 says, "Beware that thou forget not the Lord thy God in not keeping his commandments and his judgments and his statutes, which I command thee this day." He goes on there in Deuteronomy 8, and he says, "Lest when thou hast eaten and art full, and hast built goodly houses and dwelt therein, and when thy herds and thy flocks multiply, and thy silver and thy gold is multiplied, and all that thou hast is multiplied, then thine heart be lifted up, and thou forget the Lord thy God, which brought thee forth out of the land of Egypt from the house of bondage." Friends, that's America today. God has established our nation. He's given us our freedom. He has multiplied our blessings, and we've forgotten him. We need to remember. God saw their wickedness. Amos 5:12 says, "For I know your manifold transgressions and your mighty sins." And it's easy for us to look at the world around us and see how wicked it's gotten, but can I just remind you, a little leaven leaveneth the whole lump. And we need to guard against any small sin in our own hearts and minds. We need to guard against any small sin in the church as a whole. We need to watch out for sin. We need to hear the call, and we need to obey the call with the love of Christ and the truth of his word and with the hope of his gospel. Can I remind you what Psalm 103 says? Psalm 103:8. "The Lord is merciful and gracious, slow to anger and plenteous in mercy. He will not always chide, neither will he keep his anger forever." We've got to warn people, because one day, judgment's coming. Proverbs 28:13 says, "He that covereth his sins shall not prosper, but whoso confesseth and forsaketh them shall have mercy." Sin trades in sorrow, disillusionment, and death. But Christ can forgive any trespass. Amen. But he can overlook none. He can overlook none. Forgiveness is one of our greatest needs, maybe our greatest need. And it's only available through Jesus Christ. Amen. Jonah, arise. Go to Nineveh, that great city, and cry against it. For their wickedness has come up before me. Do you feel that call in your life? Listen, we're not prophets like Jonah. We don't have that God speaking to us in that audible voice like he had. But listen, does God not call us? The wickedness of our world has come up before the Lord. You know he sees it. But what has he done for us? He's called us to take the light of the gospel to them. He's called us to warn them of the judgment to come. He's called us to reason with them of righteousness and temperance, of the judgment to come, to persuade men to become Christians, to persuade them to repent of their sin and put their faith in Jesus. He's calling. But what are we going to do? We know. You know what happens next. We're going to study it next week, but we know what happens next. God says, "Get up. Go to Nineveh and cry against it." We know what Jonah chose to do, but what about us? What are we going to decide to do when we leave here tonight, we go through the day tomorrow, when we go through the rest of this year? Are we going to go with the message that God's called us to take to the world? Let's stand together tonight. I want to give you an opportunity to respond to the Word of God. A lot of noise in the world today, a lot of voices calling for your attention. We need to learn to discern the Holy Spirit of God. Do you notice it when you're at the gas pump and you see somebody there, you You hear God say, hey, give them a gospel tract. You see somebody at school or at work that seems a little bit down, they seem a little bit off. Do you feel that call? You hear that call for God to say, go and check on them, go and see if they're okay? It happens all the time. Amen. We've got to learn to listen to that call and be obedient. If he's convicting your heart tonight, if there's a decision that you need to make, if you've never answered the call to repent and believe the gospel, I pray that you'll answer that call tonight. Whatever the Lord's convicting your heart about, you come while we sing.